There's some very good stuff here that we need to hear. And I think it's often overlooked. A lot of people don't know that this is in the Bible. But let's go to chapter 2 in the book of James. Amen. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. And as I read these things, think about what I'm reading. Because this is the Word of God. And this is an instruction to the people of God. These things that we talk about that we can do through faith, we're instructed here not to have that faith with respect of persons. In other words, if you admire somebody over somebody else, and you can only pray with faith for some and not others, we're instructed here not to do that. I'm already preaching. This is kind of like reading a verse or two and a few comments, and we'll be through. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and that word gay doesn't mean in the Word of God here what it might mean in our society today. This just means kind of fancy clothes, that's all. And say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, you stand over there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? You may be seated. Just because I don't want to keep you standing a long time. So that was a question. I think the answer is very obvious that, yes, that would be a problem. Amen. So he says, hearken. In other words, listen, my beloved brethren. And here's another question. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised them that loved him? We don't need to ignore people who don't have a lot and admire and envy those that do. In fact, not only do we not need to do these things, we're instructed that we cannot really obey God if we try to exercise faith and respect somebody that has things more than those that do not. Amen. And I'm going slow, so maybe let's soak in a little bit. You know, sometimes we just go through the Word so fast, and there are some things that we like to read. Other things, we don't really want to read that. We don't want to really hear that. But and there's a lot about having ears to hear. There's a lot of meaning when the Lord teaches about having ears to hear, somehow ears to hear. And the bottom line of all that, there's a lot of other explanation, but this is one that we should always keep in mind. Ears to hear simply means this. You are able to pay attention. And you're willing to listen to what's going on here. Amen. So, it says, God has chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom. So when you're not able to maybe do what somebody else can do, if you've got faith and if you're loving God and you're having blessings in your life and good things are happening for you, you just need to be really happy that you're rich in faith. Because a lot of people don't have that. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen to this, my beloved brother. Has not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? He's chosen them. But you have despised the poor. Now, he may not be writing to you necessarily, if you're not guilty of that. But This wouldn't be in the Word of God if there weren't some people that needed to hear it. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called? If you fulfill the royal law, now that is one that we're all familiar with. If you fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, and this is it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. Amen. That's the royal law. Love your neighbor as yourself. And we're told if we do that, we do well. You know, there are other scriptures that talk about if you speak in tongues like angels and you can prophesy and you can do all these things, you have faith that you can move mountains, but you have not love, it amounts to nothing. Amen? Love is very, very important. I'm not talking about love like the world thinks of love, and I'm talking about the love like a lot of the songs talk about love. I'm talking about the love of God shed abroad in your hearts for other people who may not have what you have, who may not know what you know, who may have never experienced. Those people are special in the eyes of God, and we're being instructed to love them. To love them. And you can come to church all you want to and shout and jump up and down and shout hallelujah. But if you're not going to love somebody, hey, don't waste our time. Get yourself in the altar and pray through. Pray that God will give you some love. We talk about being baptized in Jesus' name. Everybody needs to be baptized in Jesus' name. But if you get baptized 100 times in Jesus' name and you don't get baptized in love, it's not going to do you any good. And it's a lot easier to get baptized in love in some ways because there's not the physical application of having to fill up the baptistry with water and, you know, get yourself all wet. And yet, it seems like it's more difficult to have love than it is to get baptized. I mean, we all can read Acts 2:38 and say, that's what it says, that's what it means, so let's do it. But a lot of people get baptized, but their disposition and the hatred that shows on their face when people cross their path just in the wrong way speaks louder than the fact that they were baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a lot more to the word that talks about taking the name of the Lord in vain. That's not just talking about curse words. It's not just swear words. Get baptized in His name and go on sinning. That's a major catastrophe. Because baptism in the name of Jesus accompanied with repentance is for the remission of sins. You know, and so you get sin out of your life. That's what it's for. And look, if you're going to take the time to get baptized, if you didn't learn it before you were baptized, learn it now. Because that baptism was right in Jesus' name. And that repentance was a thing to do. But if you're not going to go on and get rid of your sins, which you may not be able to do without God's help, but you need to have ears to hear this. Because if you don't realize that there are some things that the Holy Ghost will not put up with, you cannot have the Spirit of God in you and sin in you at the same time. And this is not, you know, I'm not throwing a club at you, and I'm not trying to beat up on you today. I'm just giving you the Word of God. It's very simple, very clear. It's either we're going to do it or we're not. We don't have to get deep in theology to figure all this out. It's either real for us, or we're just going through the motions and hanging on to our sins. Nothing is hidden before God, and so when He blesses you at the waters of baptism, and when you've cried out to Him saying, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins, God gives you His mercy. God fulfills His word. He gives you what He promised He would give you. Amen. And now He's asking you, will you do the same for God? Hallelujah. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And some people will think, well, you can't keep from sinning more or less every day. Well, we're not in this by ourselves. We're talking about the mighty God. If He can't keep you from sinning, He couldn't build the world either. He didn't create the universe. He didn't create the galaxies. The God we serve is able to preserve a book that we can read and get His Word, and it can be clear that we can understand. A third grader can understand what I'm saying today. I'm not speaking in Latin or Hebrew or Greek. I'm talking simple. First graders should be able to hear. It's just a matter of letting God help you to love Him enough that you'll turn loose of those other things that are not going to help you. Because Jesus will help you. Is that hard to understand? Praise God. All right. And so I'm almost through. I'm just reading these words, making a few comments, and then I'm going to, you know, I just want you to take it home because with you and think on it a little bit. And the biggest word that I've probably spoken so far is love. If you have respect to persons, this is what it says. Now listen to this. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin. Think back. How long have you been trying to serve God? How long have you been serving God? Is there anybody in your life that you have more respect for than somebody else? Meaning, you would like to see that one come to this church, but maybe not that one over there. Or, you know, like the sister that passed away a few years ago that I used to take home after church, the elderly lady. She said, we don't need any more sinners coming to our church. Ain't no telling what they'll do. She said, ain't no telling what those sinners will do. She said, we don't want any more sinners coming in. She said, quit inviting them. Yeah, well, she was sincere, you know. She was getting up in age. But you know, when she first came, she was a sinner. I reminded her of that, but she had seemingly forgotten about that. I baptized her in Jesus' name for the remission of her sins. And I pointed out several others in the congregation. And there's some things I told her she just couldn't believe. I'm not going to share it all with you because I want everybody to think we're all a bunch of angels. We were born with wings. You know, but hey. But I'm going to tell you something. Not everything is as it appears. Some of us have been through some big battles. We have fought our way to victory. I'm talking about individuals. The devil has jumped on some of us and caused us to feel like at times we were failures, miserable. There was no way that we could make it because we have all, at one time or another, miserably failed. No excuse, no justification. But thank God for His love. His example of mercy. His example of tender, loving care. And He has no respecter of persons. The Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. And that whosoever will may come unto Him. There's nobody that God will say no to if he's sincere, if she's sincere, that wants God in your life. For God so loved the world. I'm glad that word so is in there. God so loved the world. That's why the cross was where it was and why it was there for Jesus to be crucified on. That was the love of God taking the punishment for our sins. We all deserved not to be able to enjoy what we enjoy. But Jesus said, look, I love you. I love all of you. And it was in God's plan for only one person to be the scapegoat for the iniquities of us all. Jesus took upon Himself all of our sins so that we could be clean and free if we would look to Him and let Him love us. Amen. And it's not who you are, where you don't have to be born in a family that goes to church all the time. You don't have to have been raised around certain kinds of folks. God's not looking on that. He's just looking for somebody to love who'll love Him back. somebody that is willing to just pay attention and say, okay, so what do I do now? Hallelujah. So if you have respect for persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. All right, as I bring this to a close, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend one point, he is guilty of all. And they use the word, God uses the word law written here by James under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. The law here, but you know, it's really, when you look into it just a little deeper, it's just saying the Word of God. If you keep the Word of God, but you're offended by one portion of it, then you're guilty of being offended. And that word offended actually means more than just how we usually think of offended. In other words, if you goof up because there's some word of God that you just can't keep, but other than that, you're doing fine. If there's one thing you're leaving out, according to this word that I'm reading in James, it's pretty strict here. You're guilty of leaving it all out. See, it's either all or nothing with God. We can't just take what we want and just say, this is for me and that's not. It's the same for everybody. Everybody gets an equal chance. Everybody has equal word. Everybody has the same God. And everybody has the same opportunity. What Obama's trying to accomplish, we've already got. Everybody's on the same level. And we're spreading the wealth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ain't nothing better than this. And now listen to this. This is the Word of God. Some of us that I deal with from time to time don't seemingly understand that adultery and fornication is sin. It's all through the Bible. But you know, people in today's world, they want to do these things and somehow, because everybody else is doing it, it's okay. God never gave us one scripture that said, because everybody else is doing something, that makes it right. Might be okay, you go to court, somebody says, you know what they did? They did this, and they did that. And the judge says, oh, what, I do it too. That's not the judge I'm talking about here. I'm talking about Jesus. Jesus. And we're not saying one thing's worse than another, because you're doing everything holy, but you're doing one of these things, you're unholy. You're not godly. You're not saved. You're not even a Christian. You're lost. You're a sinner. Oh, that hurts. Oh, that hurts. Oh, that hurts. But wait a minute. But Jesus loves you. And though you're guilty of everything that you can imagine, His mercy is able, with His love and forgiveness, to completely set you free as though it never happened. And there's no respecter of persons with God. So we don't need to judge anybody based on what they've done, where they've been, or who they've been with, or what. We just need to rejoice when we see God leading them forward with love, tenderness, and rejoice for them because God rejoices with them. For He said, He that said, do not commit adultery. Somebody told me, well, that was in the law. That's right, it was in the law. But if you only understand, God put the law in our hearts. And the law didn't change. Some of the ordinances of the laws and some of the things that are physical, such as sacrifices, we got Jesus as our sacrifice now. And some of the instructions of what to do, if you could only understand, there are a lot of symbolic things that happen under the law of Moses. And under the Old Testament writings that you read, that are shadows and types of things that we experience today. But the law is in our hearts. God put it there through the power of the Holy Ghost. And we should be able, as we walk with Jesus, to know to say no to some things. Because that's what God puts in our hearts. We don't serve Him by a book. We don't serve Him by a set of rules. We serve Him because of the experience of Christ in us, the hope of glory. And I'm going to tell you, you can't be doing some of these things and have Christ in you at the same time. Amen. But that don't mean you're inferior. That doesn't mean that you're second class. That doesn't mean you have to ride on the back seat. It just means, hey, you might need a little more love. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He that said, do not commit adultery. This is talking about God. He that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now, if you commit no adultery, but you kill, you become a transgressor of the law. In other words, you messed up. And I don't think he wants us to choose whether we should do one or the other here. It's just a lesson being taught. So speak ye, and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. You're free to make your own choices and to serve God for yourself. For he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. In other words, if you can't be merciful to somebody else, don't you expect God to be merciful to you? Because not being able to forgive, put it behind us, I don't care who it is or what it's about, we can't please God and be like that. Let's all thank the Lord, shall we? Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Amen. 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 Told you we're going through some changes. That was your message for today. Now, there was enough said there to convert a multitude. Jesus taught people with a few words here and there as he fed them, loved them, healed their sick, and caused them to know that there was compassion in his presence. It didn't matter who reached out to touch him. If they reached out to touch him, he had compassion. It didn't matter who showed up for a free lunch. He fed them all. It didn't matter who was sick. He healed them. It didn't matter what they believed in. He loved them. He expects the same of us in Norwich, Connecticut. Let us all stand and thank the Lord this morning, this afternoon. We want to thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I want to do something this afternoon, just for a moment here. I don't want to put any pressure on anybody. But you know, this is kind of a surrender from the heart to God thing that we're talking about. And sometimes people need to have an opportunity to take a first step. Just to take a first step. Is there anybody in this building today that would like to walk up here? It might be something you've never done before. Maybe you've done it before. This is not going to save you necessarily. But it's going to be a showing to God and all of the people here that love you that there's something in your heart that wants to make a step forward toward God. And if you will come up here, I will pray for you. And we won't, you know, we're not going to shake you and push you around or anything like that. We just want to pray for you. If there's anybody here that wants prayer, we're talking to the healer who can heal you, the Savior who can save you, and the Christ who loves you. And I'm going to give you just a moment. If you want to come from your heart, I'm not going to beg anybody. I'm not going to try to twist your arm. But this is your opportunity. Anybody in this crowd, sometimes it's hard to take that step, but if you take it, I promise it gets easier after that. It gets easier to take that second one. Praise God. Let's pray while we just wait a moment. Jesus, Lord Jesus, if there's anybody here today that's having a struggle but wants to come forward, I pray, Lord, you'd help them to move forward right now. Just go ahead and just come up here. Let me pray for them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, brother. Amen. Lord Jesus, I pray for my brother right now. As we take this step, Lord, to the God who understands and cares, I pray, Lord, this moment forward would be great victory ahead. Understanding would be opened up. He would find the realization that there's a God who cares more than he ever realized. I'm believing you, Lord, that you're going to save his soul and you're going to bring him forward and make him a pillar in the house of God. And I'm praying, Lord, that you would help him to know that the real God of heaven is with us right now. It's not by my might or power, nor how I pray, but it's because of who you are and how much you care. Pray you'd bless him in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, my brother. Amen. Does anybody else want to come up and take that step? Amen. Jesus, I pray your blessings on Sister Judy today. I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, just to strengthen her. Help her, Lord, to just abound in victories and great, great love of God that is shed abroad in so many ways. Help her to be a blessing to other people. Bless her on the job where she works. Bless her in health, Lord. Bless her, Lord, as she moves forward in you today. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We give you praise, God. Amen. Lord Jesus, I pray your blessings on Sister Annie. God, I just pray, Lord, you just help her, Lord, the needs of her life, spiritually, physically, wherever they are. Let the love of God, Lord, just sweep through her entire being. Lift her up, Lord, to a greater height than she's ever known. Thank you for the testimonies. Thank you for the good things we've enjoyed up to now. Lord, there's so much more where all that comes from, and you've got some things for her beyond anything she's ever even experienced yet. I just know you do. I'm asking you, God, to bless Sister Annie in every way where blessings are needed. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Anybody else need prayer? Anybody's welcome. Praise God. God is good. God is good. Isn't he good? Come on, Brother Rick. Amen. Praise God. Jesus, I pray your blessings on Brother Rick. I pray, Lord, you would just strengthen him in every way. Let the love of God heal him. Strengthen him and open up doors, Lord. As he humbles himself and is exalted by the hand of God, I pray, Lord, this Holy Ghost power, Lord Jesus, will surprise a lot of people and defeat a lot of devils in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Bless his home. Bless his life. Heal his body. Bless his ministry. Bring out of him preaching like we've never heard before. Lord, I pray, Lord, a complete victorious blessing in his life to be coming forth as we move forward in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's no telling what God will do if you can believe. A lot hinges on whether you can believe or not. We gave you some simple things in the Word of God. If you can believe that love is important, and if you can believe that God wants you to not favor somebody over somebody else as you try to have faith, but just have faith, just believe. Just believe that God is able as you look to him. And whatever your hang-ups might be, whatever your habits, however your lifestyle may be, hey, look to Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Don't look at what others may think or what they may do. Just look to Jesus. Because I want to tell you what, if you want to be saved, you're going to have to get sin out of your life. You can't do it by yourself. But Jesus can kick the devil out and save your soul. Everybody praise God one more time. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you today. Next service is Tuesday night. Now, all the ministers who have been through the years known as ministers here, Tuesday night, be ready. If I don't call on you Tuesday night to speak for 5 or 10 minutes, I'll hold you over for Thursday night. What I'll have to say Tuesday night will probably be only 5 or 10 minutes if I say anything at all. It depends on what happens to you. But I would like for all of you ministers here to be thinking on the Word of God and praying. And come here with a spring in your heels. with something from God that'll bless the people. And don't wait till you get here. I'm telling you now. I'm telling you now that I expect everybody who's claiming to be a minister, who's working with us in this church, I'm expecting you to be perfect in the eyes of God. Every time you come to church and every time you manifest any spirit at all, it needs to be the Spirit of God. We are examples, and if I have to work on you, we're missing something somewhere. So, all of you know what it takes to serve God. So do it. Not because I make you, because that ain't going to work. I could come after you and talk to you and point my finger in your face and say, look, you need to get right. Hey, this is something that needs to come from your heart. I just want to encourage you and love you because I don't love one of you less than another. And I don't know who I'm going to call on Tuesday night, but you need to be ready and you need to be inspired of God when you come to church. Praise God. One more time, would you just thank the Lord as we're dismissed. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. Thank you for being here today. See you Tuesday.